Harper Audio presents Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen, performed by Claire Bloom. Published in 1813, it remains one of the most widely read works in the English language.
Elizabeth, as they drove along, watched for the first appearance of Pemberley Woods with some perturbation. And when at length they turned in at the lodge, her spirits were in a high flutter. She was overpowered by shame and vexation. Her coming there was the most unfortunate, the most ill-judged thing in the world. In what a disgraceful light might it not strike so vain a man? It might seem as if she had purposely thrown herself in his way again. She blushed again and again over the perverseness of the meeting. And his behaviour so strikingly altered, what could it mean? That he should even speak to her was amazing. But to speak with such civility, to inquire after her family. What a contrast did it offer to his last address in Rosings Park when he put the letter into her hand. Mrs. Gardiner was standing a little behind, and he asked Elizabeth if she would do him the honour of introducing him to her friends. This was a stroke of civility for which she was quite unprepared, and she could hardly suppress a smile at his being now seeking the acquaintance of some of those very people against whom his pride had revolted in his offer to herself. What will be his surprise, thought she, when he knows who they are? He takes them now for people of fashion. That he was surprised by the connection was evident. He sustained it, however, with fortitude and conversation with Mr. Gardiner. The conversation soon turned upon fishing, and she heard Mr. Darcy invite him to fish there as often as he chose while he continued in the neighbourhood. After a short silence, he said to Elizabeth, "Will you allow me, or do I ask too much, to introduce my sister to your acquaintance during your stay at Lambton?" The surprise of such an application was great indeed. It was too great for her to know in what manner she acceded to it. Elizabeth had settled it that Mr. Darcy would bring his sister to visit her the very day after her reaching Pemberley. Miss Darcy and her brother appeared, and this formidable introduction took place. It was not often that she could turn her eyes on Mr. Darcy himself, but whenever she did catch a glimpse, she saw an expression of general complacence, and in all that he said she heard an accent so far removed from hauteur or disdain of his companions as convinced her that the improvement of manners which she had yesterday witnessed, however temporary its existence might prove, had at least outlived one day. When she saw him civil, not only to herself, but to the very relations whom he had openly disdained, and recollected their last lively scene at Hunsford Parsonage, the difference, the change, was so great, and struck so forcibly on her mind, that she could hardly restrain her astonishment from being visible. Never, even in the company of his dear friends at Netherfield, or his dignified relations at Rosings, had she seen him so desirous to please. Their visitors stayed with them above half an hour, and when they arose to depart, Mr. Darcy called on his sister to join him in expressing their wish of seeing Mr. and Mrs. Gardiner and Miss Bennet at dinner at Pemberley before they left the country. Elizabeth's thoughts were at Pemberley this evening, and the evening, though as it passed it seemed long, was not long enough to determine her feelings towards one in that mansion, and she lay awake 2 whole hours endeavouring to make them out. She certainly did not hate him. No, hatred had vanished long ago, and she had almost as long been ashamed of ever feeling a dislike against him. The respect created by the conviction of his valuable qualities was now heightened into somewhat of a friendlier nature. But above all, above respect and esteem, there was a motive within her of goodwill which could not be overlooked. It was gratitude. Gratitude, not merely for having once loved her, but for loving her still well enough to forgive all the petulance and acrimony of her manner in rejecting him, and all the unjust accusations accompanying her rejection. He who, she had been persuaded, would avoid her as his greatest enemy, seemed on this accidental meeting most eager to preserve the acquaintance. Such a change in a man of so much pride excited not only astonishment, but gratitude. For to love, ardent love, it must be attributed. Mr. Bingley arrived. Mrs. Bennet, through the assistance of servants, contrived to have the earliest tidings of it. She counted the days that must intervene before their invitation could be sent. But on the third morning after his arrival in Hertfordshire, she saw him from her dressing-room window enter the paddock and ride towards the house. Her daughters were eagerly called to partake of her joy. "There is a gentleman with him, Mama," said Kitty. "La, it looks just like that man that used to be with him before. Mr. What's-his-name, that tall, proud man." "Good gracious, Mr. Darcy, and so it does, I vow. Well, any friend of Mr. Bingley's will always be welcome here, to be sure, but else I must say that I hate the very sight of him." Jane looked at Elizabeth with surprise and concern. She knew but little of their meeting in Derbyshire, and therefore felt for the awkwardness which must attend her sister in seeing him almost for the first time after receiving his explanatory letter. Both sisters were uncomfortable enough. Each felt for the other, and of course for themselves. And their mother talked on of her dislike of Mr. Darcy and her resolution to be civil to him only as Mr. Bingley's friend, without being heard by either of them. "It is a long time, Mr. Bingley, since you went away," said Mrs. Bennet. He readily agreed to it. "I began to be afraid you would never come back again. A great many changes have happened in the neighbourhood since you went away. Miss Lucas is married and settled, and one of my own daughters. I suppose you have heard of it. Indeed, you must have seen it in the papers. It was not put in as it ought to be. It was only said, 'Lately George Wickham, Esquire, to Miss Lydia Bennet,' without there being a syllable said of her father, or the place where she lived, or anything. Did you see it?" Mr. Bingley replied that he did, and made his congratulations. Elizabeth dared not lift up her eyes. How Mr. Darcy looked, therefore, she could not tell. "It is delightful, to be sure, to have a daughter well married," continued her mother. "But at the same time, Mr. Bingley, it is very hard to have her taken such away from me. They are gone down to Newcastle, a place quite northward, it seems, and there they are to stay I do not know how long. Thank heaven he has some friends, though perhaps not so many as he deserves." Elizabeth, who knew this to be levelled at Mr. Darcy, was in such misery of shame that she could hardly keep her seat. "When you have killed all your own birds, Mr. Bingley," said her mother, "I beg you will come here and shoot as many as you please on Mr. Bennet's manor. I'm sure he will be vastly happy to oblige you and will save all the best of the coveys for you." Elizabeth's misery increased at such unnecessary, such officious attention. At that instant she felt that years of happiness could not make Jane or herself amends for moments of such painful confusion. Yet the misery, for which years of happiness were to offer no compensation, received soon afterwards material relief from observing how much the beauty of her sister roused the admiration of her former lover.
HarperCollins is the copyright owner of this recording. HarperCollins has consented to a limited distribution of Harper Audio as an 8 kHz computer sound file on Internet Town Hall. It is a violation of United States and international copyright law to copy these recordings in any other way. Harper Audio is a trademark of HarperCollins Publishers, Inc. To order a copy of this tape or to request a catalog of all Harper Audio spoken word cassettes, please call 1-800-C-HARPER or 717-941-1214 or send mail to harper@town.hall.org. This has been a production of the Internet Multicasting Service. Support for Harper Audio has been provided by HarperCollins and by Sun Microsystems and O'Reilly & Associates. Network connectivity provided by UUNet Technologies and by MFS DataNet.